This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
It's time to tell our Podmeets World listeners that if you're currently tuning in via headphones, it's time you take audio seriously and join the JLab family.
JLab offers incredible sound for all of life's moments.
It's tech done better. Consumers deserve better than the same old tech they've been stuck with.
Instead of high price tags, everyone should have access to new innovations and products they actually want. So JLab thought, hey, why not do something about it?
What are you waiting for? Get out there and join the JLab family.
JLab.com. JLab, your kind of tech.
When it comes to Podmeets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. Welcome to Pod Meets World. I am Danielle Fishel.
I'm Will Friedle.
And I'm Ryder Strong.
And we are joined today to talk about episode number 104, Corey's Alternative Friends, which is the very first episode where Topanga appears. And we are thrilled to have David here. Let's jump into my first episode. I've now watched three episodes. We've done three recap episodes that I haven't been in. And so I'm
get to do one with you. Yes. I am sorry. I said this to you before we even started this. I don't think Ryder would disagree with me. I think if you put up a list of the most important Boy Meets World episodes, this has to be at or near the top of every list.
I think it's the top.
I agree. For me, I think it's the number one most important episode.
What was so funny about watching it overall was how monumental this episode is in my mind as an experience, but actually how kind of slight it is, like especially my involvement. Like I thought I was a huge part. I was that's because of the experience of doing it. This was the episode where I became a part of the show. And I think this is the episode where I learned how to be in a sitcom and what, you know, how to get laughs. And we can talk about, like, I specifically remember the moments we can talk about. But also, I remember watching the show on tape night and seeing the reaction to the Topanga-Corey relationship.
Yep.
And realizing, oh, this is the show. Like, this is what is going to drive Boy Meets World forward for me. And so, yeah, and watching it, I was just like, oh yeah, this, it's still, it's all there. That, yeah. You know, Corey always needed a romantic foil, right? Or another character to bounce this off of. And it's like, you couldn't get a better person than Danielle playing Topanga. Yeah. It's just magical.
And there was more of the family dynamic.
And we see Sean in the family house.
Sean is in the family house.
Yep,
the audience was interactive for the first time ever. I mean, this show, this episode hit so many different notes that just, I think, changed the whole ballgame for the series. I really do.
David, as the director of this episode, do you remember the tape night?
No.
No.
I remember tape nights in the early going as raucous.
Yeah.
And raucous for all sorts of reasons. Like, an audience is a new cast member.
Yes.
So as cast, original cast members, you suddenly have the 200 people who haven't rehearsed.
Yeah, right.
Who knows what they're going to do? And also, I remember for Bill Daniels, a wonderful man. I mean, he can't, however much we love Bob Young and David Kendall, Bill Daniels is insane. Handful of guys are really special. I think it was very, it's weird to him. Changes, you know, Michael would change things, and it was like a hell's a pop. It was great. So that's what I remember, and I can't imagine that the fourth episode was any different.
No, it was actually even the more so. Like Will said, this is the first time we've heard, you know, Eric has that line about getting the good hair, and the girls went, and that's the first time that happened. And then there's a Beavis and Butthead reference.
The audience
clapped and screamed for Beavis and Butthead. So if anything, they had just started to get, you know, noisy.
Yeah. I wanted to put this off at the top of the episode. You know how much of a television fan I am, especially old sitcom. I love it so much. And I went back and I did some research about, and this again shows how our show is constantly overlooked, about characters that either started as secondary characters or were brought on later in the later in a series that changed the entire dynamic. And we're talking Klinger from MASH, Fonzie from Happy Days, Urkel from Family Matters, Woody on Cheers, Andy in The Office, and not a single list is Topanga mentioned.
But it was it was episode four.
Well, Fonzie was on from the pilot. So, you know, Klinger was on from the pilot. They had smaller roles, but were then brought on as regulars on the show that then changed the dynamic of the show. And it's one of those things where your husband and I were talking about this, Danielle. Everybody, when they go back and they think of Boy Meets World, I think they remember Topanga being on the whole show.
Right. Yeah. People are always shocked. I'm like, oh, I don't think I was in that episode. They're like, what?
So that's one of the things. It's you become so ingrained with the show that the idea that you started four episodes, you weren't on there.
Were any of those names you listed women?
No.
Oh, interesting.
No. Interesting. Well, there you go. There you go.
Interesting. No women apparently that have really changed the show.
Not on any list
as far
I read.
As the internet is concerned.
Not on any. And again, I went strictly sitcom. If you went to shows like Lost and things, there were a lot of women on the list.
Okay. All right.
But I was going strictly old school sitcom. But yes, they were all men. Now that you mentioned it, yes, they were.
All right.
And Topanga was not on a single list, and I found that to be pretty interesting, frankly.
You know who you might have to add to that list just doing this is Kirstie Alley on Cheers.
Kirstie was another one, yep.
Yeah, there's a woman. We're just looking to find a woman.
Yeah.
Yes, and she wasn't listed on any of those
lists.
She was
not. Woody Harrelson was for the same show on Cheers, but Kirstie Alley was not, very interestingly enough. So there you go.
David, what was it like directing Bill Daniels? Because we all remember, you know, first of all, as kids, he was very intimidating. He was the consummate professional. I remember him being nervous that he was going to forget his lines and him just poring over his script. And like you said, it was probably very confusing to him to in the middle of a scene for Michael to come out and take a pencil and cross out the entire page and then rewrite new lines for everybody when he was such a pro, he didn't want to forget any lines. So what was that relationship like directing Bill Daniels?
Well, because I came from the theater, and Bill came from the theater. There was a sort of distant foundation.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that's great about Bill is he's in Boy Meets World. He's in The Graduate. He's on Broadway. He's in everything. He's always the same fine actor.
Yep.
He doesn't change the way he does what he does for the medium. He does what he does, and the medium embraces it.
Has to accommodate it.
So I think what Bill was, I hope I was trying to do with Bill, but I think Bill was, as a monumentally gifted guy, I think he was doing for himself, was figuring out how to be Bill Daniels in this environment. And obviously he got it very quickly. And you can see it in when we watch this episode of Romer Says, so like in the classroom scenes where the sort of dry undercut. I mean, that's perfect classic Bill. And I don't mean it's like rote. I mean he's just being true to how he acts. So that's what I think he was doing, and I hope I was trying to help with that, but I don't know. I don't know.
Well, you were wonderful at that with all of us.
So. But Bill also made all of us. You know, they say that the great sports, you know, having a great player on your team makes everybody else better.
Oh,
and
yes.
That's just how it was. When you had him as the anchor, you just talk about, I mean, we talked in the last episode about kind of in not necessarily a healthy way, trying to get Michael's
approval
and admiration. It was a different feeling with Bill. You wanted that approval and admiration because you knew you earned it with him, and it was something so special when he would occasionally throw out a compliment as an actor or something like that. So there was that. It was an interesting balance between the healthy and the unhealthy ways of
but
getting
also
that admiration.
I think what Bill's looking to do with you, and must be very rewarding for you guys, is good actors feed off and reinforce and enhance each other. Mm-hmm. Good actors pay attention. Good actors respond to what is in front of them. They're looking you in the eye and listening to your voice and responding to that. And Bill's the highest level actor. And so for you guys as newcomers to be in that situation, you can only get better in leaps and bounds. And when Bill would see that and have that relationship with you, I'm sure he was as gratified as you were.
Yeah.
Well, let's just jump into the first scene then, because that really was a huge leap forward for me. And precisely because of what you're talking about, getting to do this presentation beat was the first time I remember doing something really kind of funny on Boy Meets World. Because up until then, I was always just the sort of one-liners, you know, off to the side in the cafeteria. And I remember having so much fun with this because I hadn't really done comedy before, but what you're saying, like the dynamic with Bill just sort of slipping in this dry, like, oh, da, 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 Mr. Matthews was so. And then I remember getting permission to be stupid getting up there. Yeah. And like, I remember, I don't know whose idea was, but I remember like the pointers.
Yeah.
And I believe it was you, David, said like, no, Ryder, it doesn't matter where you point. That's funny. And that's where we found that joke. I remember finding the joke because we were like, well, we have to hit the, he's like, no, don't even look, just do it. And I remember we did it. And then Bill's reaching out and adjusting us and just loving it. It was so much. And it was like the first time coming alive as an actor and getting laughs and being like, oh, you mean, because I think in my kid brain, I was like, well, I have to bring out the pointer and then I have to find where Denver is because that's what my character is saying. And I remember you being like, no, don't even look. Look at it. Just smack the thing. And that just became the whole bit.
Well, let me give the synopsis of the episode, and then we will go into the first scene.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
kids.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right. And that's why I'm sending mine farm fresh flowers from Books.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Books order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Books Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Books has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Books is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Books now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Books.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Books.com, promo code WORLD.
Books, promo code WORLD.
As a podcast focus on reliving memories from our past, I can tell you firsthand, as you get older, your memory just isn't as reliable as it used to be.
Yeah, if we didn't have Will here, there would be a lot of dead air.
That is true, Robert. Well, guys, since I know you need a little help, you're going to love Legacy Box. It's the safest way to digitize your home videos and pictures, even when you think you don't have a way to watch them anymore.
Oh, this is perfect, especially with Mother's Day right around the corner.
It really is the perfect gift for the whole family, whether it's a sweet 16 or college graduation.
First steps or performing a Backstreet Boys dance in between scenes on your childhood network sitcom. This is the way to reconnect with your history.
The process is so easy. You just fill your legacy box with old VHS or camcorder tapes, pictures, negatives, film reels. I mean, they even work with over 15 different types of analog media, so they have you covered.
Then you just send the box back and their team professionally digitizes everything by hand in the U.S. and you'll get it all back on the cloud or on a thumb drive along with your originals.
I recently sent off my first box to Legacy Box and I got into my old storage unit and found about 40 tapes, all different media, and I was able to label each one and send it off. I cannot wait to see what these tapes hold.
Jensen and I also recently got some of his home videos digitized, and being able to hear his parents' voices again has been a real gift.
So join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories.
Go to legacybox.com/world to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever.
It's time to connect with your past and make sure those memories are preserved properly.
That's legacybox.com/world. So the synopsis is that Sean and Corey get split up from doing a project together, making Sean work with Minkus and Corey work with Topanga. Corey overhears girls making fun of his hair and he decides to change it. So this is Corey's Alternative Friends. It originally aired October 15th, 1993.
Jeez.
And David Trainer, who's joining us, is the director. The writers were Michael Jacobs, April Kelly, and Patricia Forrester.
I don't remember Patricia Forrester.
I don't either. I think this may be the only episode she did, but I will fact check that myself.
Okay.
So we're in the very first scene, the cold open. As Ryder was mentioning, there are projects going on, and Marla Sokoloff and Megan Parler are the two girls.
Fish girl.
At the front. Yeah, we've referred to her as Fish Girl. they get up, they do their presentation, and then we see Sean and Corey get up to deliver their presentation, and Corey is wearing
a hooded vest.
As is Sean, I believe. Aren't they both with hoods?
They both have hoods, but I think
well,
I think
Sean had
sleeves.
Yeah,
sleeves
he had the
and a hood.
Sleeves and of course the impeccable dinosaur shirt.
Yes.
With
Ryder
hood.
Was big into dinosaur shirts.
And this episode is what I like to start, and we'll get into it as we get farther, but the purple phase of Boy Meets World, where for some reason all or most of us were wearing purple during most of the episode.
Yeah.
Go figure. So we will get into that as well. The hooded sweatshirts. Here we go.
So, Ryder, I remember the pointers as well as you do. I remember, you know, because I was just sitting in that scene in the front row. I remember you guys having so much fun and thinking it was so funny to see kids with pointers and the way Bill is adjusting and the way Bill is reacting to you. And the fact
it was prop humor. It was just basic prop humor, but I don't think we had done that yet on the show. You know, or I hadn't, you know, and so the ability to just like keep finding laughs. And that's mostly what I remember about this episode, I think, is when I finally learned what a sitcom was, like, you know, while doing it. And we'll talk about later, like being able to find multiple laughs in one beat, you know, or to stretch something into separate beats. Like, and I remember Ben and I being so happy to be able to do the pointers at the same time, like choreography, you know, like that was just an educational moment. It was like, oh, this is what comedy is. You give kids props and let them have fun, you know, and then you set them up against somebody like Bill Daniels, and it's just hysterical.
Well, I loved the proximity of Bill to you guys too, the way he's like right in between you. David, do you approach directing kids in comedy differently than you approach adults in comedy?
I don't think so. I mean, I would say that there's a kind of schoolyard energy that is both valuable and has to be
contained,
channeled.
But you guys were great. I mean, my recollection was everybody came to play in the finest sense of the word, you know, came to figure out how to do this stuff. And that, you know, rehearsal is the most fun of all, in my opinion. You have to perform it and do it, all that stuff, because you have to put it on tape or film and show it to the public. But the real fun is the rehearsal.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, completely
agree.
And everybody can relax and do it. There's no right or wrong. That's why the whole Michael Jacobs stuff that we were talking about before is so antithetical to what really, because it's like, go nuts.
Yeah.
Do it wrong. Do it standing on your head. Do it, you know, tell me. Oh, you think you'd be funny on your head? Try it. What the hell?
Right.
Nobody cares. And as a result, you end up with stuff that's exponentially better than if you, so that's what you want. Kids are particularly gifted kids, which you all were. What fun.
It kind of comes naturally, right? Because it's very similar to just playing make-believe.
I mean, screwing around.
Was this, Ryder, was this one of those times that you would often talk about where you were given a prop and you and Ben maybe played a little too much with the prop and Bill would, after a while, be like, all right, enough with whatever you're playing with?
Oh, yeah. Probably not at this point, but yeah. I mean, at this point, I think we were still, you know, we were just discovering what it was we were doing. I would say by second season is when we would get in trouble with Bill. Second season is when Ben and I would be playing with something for too long or just have an inside joke that we thought was hysterical that nobody else found funny. And we would repeat it ad nauseum. That was big with me and Ben. But no, I don't think at this point we were just, I just remember being so happy to discover comedy. You know, like I didn't know what I hadn't done it. And like, this was it. Like, this was me watching this episode was like, and it was remembering, oh, this is where I learned what a sitcom is. Cause I didn't watch
it. Implicitly
as a kid.
In this, Ryder, one of the things you're saying is you didn't go into it thinking it was fun.
Exactly.
You went into it as a task to perform. I have to get out of my chair, stand up front with Ben and give our talk. Right. That's it. Oh, and then coincidentally, it's fun.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So there's a kind, it's when you know it's fun. That's when you start to do it four times and repeat it. That's
good. It starts getting stale real quick.
Yeah.
Right?
You don't know it's funny. That's fun.
Yeah. The discovery.
And so in this scene is Topanga's reveal. And you see my hair before you see any other aspect of me. And it brought back immediate memories. And I called my mother because my mother is responsible for that Topanga hair.
The crimp? Would it be a crimp? Is that what it is?
It wasn't crimped hair. It wasn't
braided,
crimped.
Though, right?
I came home on Tuesday night, ate dinner with my family. So Tuesday, you know, after producer or network run through, washed my hair, and then kind of dried it enough that it was still damp. And then my mom braided my hair in, no joke, probably about 100 braids. Oh. I'm talking a minuscule amount of hair, very tiny braids, rubber bands all at the bottom. It would take us until about 11 p.m. And then I would go to sleep and sleep with the braids and then wake up that day, wear the braids to work, have them all taken out in the hair and makeup room. And we did that for the entirity of the first season.
Wow. Had you done that to your hair before?
Well, yes. We had known just from having long hair that if you braid your hair while it's damp, it creates waves. And I don't remember the specific conversation of like, oh, we want Topanga's hair to be crimped. But that was a conversation that happened with my mom present. And my mom said, oh, I could braid it. And then eventually at the end of the first season, my mom was like, for one thing, Danielle is up until 11 o'clock and we had to do it back-to-back nights, Tuesday night for Wednesday pre-tape. And then Wednesday night, we had to redo it because by that time, then it didn't look as good for Thursday. So we had to redo it Wednesday night for Thursday's taping. And my mom was like, one, I'm not getting paid. Two, Danielle is up until 11 o'clock. We have to come up with a different system for hair. And that's when we started doing the curlers.
But also it didn't look like, I mean, nobody's hair naturally looks like that.
No.
Like the only way you get hair like that is to spend a ton of time.
Six hours.
It's so interesting that she's supposed to be this like hippie earthy, but she actually has hair that's been done like basically at a salon level for hours. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
But I guess it was just a unique enough look that it made you go like, oh, this person's different.
Yeah. It fit the aesthetic more than it made any logical sense.
It was so good.
But yeah, so that starts my hair journey.
Topanga.
There's Topanga. And I remember this scene in particular, the let me see if you're vibrationally acceptable. That is being one of the lines I had to do a million times to say it slow enough.
Really?
Just turning slowly. Let me see if it was so hard. It was just so hard.
I imagine also in your head, because you've got the lights on you, there's a crowd waiting for you. In your head, you're probably like, this is taking forever.
Why am I talking so slowly? It felt like I was speaking. Like, that's how it felt to me. I was like, there's no way you want me to do it slower.
But you have to say, with your hair, with what you're wearing, and with the kind of serene look you have on your face, and with Ben just saying, Corey just saying, what, Topanga? You kind of get most of the character instantly.
Yeah, you know right away.
Like, you know exactly what it's like. You're not going to get the layers, but you get what they're going with right away. With like, oh, it's a little hippie flower child. Like, you get it right away. It's awesome.
Yes. All right.
Great reveal.
Are we good to move on to the next scene where we're in the cafeteria?
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandy shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. So we're in the cafeteria, and this is where Corey overhears Fish Girl and Marla Sokoloff talking about Brillo Head. They call him Brillo Head. Corey assumes it is about him, and he then questions his hair. Well, he asks Ryder, Sean, what do you think about my hair? I thought you,
by
the way,
more of a Nerf head.
Yes, yes, more of a Nerf head.
Props to Ryder Strong for doing something that lots of actors do not like to do and voraciously eating during the scene.
I just wanted to go back and tell myself, stop eating.
Most of us just push the food around with a fork so we don't have to eat during lines. Every time you see Ryder, you know, shoveling
Russ,
in.
Russ told me once, you know, again, another great guy, Russ told me when he was an off-Broadway actor, he always figured out how to eat in a scene in the play he was in. So he was sure he would have dinner.
Exactly.
I mean, I really remember Rusty saying, no, no. Yeah, I always figure out how to eat.
Yeah. So that's how you went Ryder. There's Ryder.
He gets fed every night. That's amazing.
Ben at one point picks up one piece of ravioli and takes the tiniest little bite out of the corner by the time Ryder's three quarters of the way through his plate. It was so fun. I was literally so pointing it out. It's like, look, he's still going. You just kept shoveling it in. God bless you, Ryder.
I'm going to do a weird tangent right now because the Marla Sokoloff was actually present. This kind of connects in a weird way. So, you know, people have asked me where my hairstyle came from, how I got this sort of, because actually what people don't realize, I had to straighten my hair. My hair was wavier. So I would actually be spending hours in the chair with them straightening my hair to get it to look that, you know, the classic Sean hair. But Marla was there the night. So I knew Marla. She was a part of a group of kids that lived at the Oakwoods because we were all kid actors.
We all
lived
there.
Down for pilot season. And the pilot season that I got Boy Meets World, I went and had a gathering where I was the only boy with Larissa Olenek, Marla Sokoloff, and I can't remember who else. There was like two other girls there. And they decided to take over my hair. And they wet my hair and parted it down the middle and told me that I should be wearing it like this because, and I think it was because it looked like Christian Slater, who was like an actor at the time, okay, a slightly older actor that we all look. And so I started wearing my hair like that, which is why I was wearing my hair that way when I went to the Boy Meets World pilot audition.
Wow.
So in a weird way, full circle, Marla Sokoloff being in this episode connects to the creation of my character's iconic hair too.
Wow. Yeah, one of the first episodes, first of many that had something to do with hair.
Yes,
a lot of hair episodes.
And I want to point out something here, which is Michael Jacobs has tightly curly hair.
Yes, Ben's hair.
Yeah, he has Ben's hair. So again, this is talking about Ben being a voice from a representative. Like physically, he's a representative of Michael too, and all that anxiety about the hair. I don't care whose name is on the script. Yeah. There's only one person who wrote it.
Yes, you're 100% right.
That's true.
By the way, Marla Sokoloff went on. We talk about a lot about how we were kind of, you know, against each other for the role of Topanga and that I got it. Marla Sokoloff has gone on to have an absolutely incredible career.
Stellar.
She is so incredibly talented. She's now directing, but she was in, she was on Full House. She was in Fuller House. She was in Whatever It Takes. She was on The Practice. She is truly an incredible actress.
So. And really cool, by the way.
And a very cool person.
Very cool person.
Yes. So just giving her dues because she is absolutely
we had a lot
this,
and,
right.
And I think every week we will be doing that. We had so many guest stars on our show that went off to do unbelievable things that we didn't even realize how blessed we were to be working with a lot of these people.
Absolutely.
So every week, I'm sure we're going to be like, and remember this person and look what they did and remember this person and look what they did. So big shout out to
Marla. I mean, in the cafeteria, the weirdos with Topanga, keyboard.
Chris Owen.
Is Chris
my
Owen.
My boy Chris. Yep. Yes.
The Shermanator.
Yeah.
He says not a single word.
Nope. And plays keyboard the entire time.
We
both did a movie with Chris. You and I both did different movies with Chris Owen.
Did you remember that he had done this episode when you worked with him?
No. So we were, he said to me like second day shooting, he was like, you know, I was on Boy Meets World. I was like, no, you weren't. It's like, dude, I know everybody that was on Boy Meets World.
I've had this experience so many times.
And he's like, no, I was, he's like the first Topanga episode. I was like, now I know you're wrong. Cause that's like the most important episode of the show. There's no way. And he's like, no, I just sat there playing the keyboard the whole time. I was like, you were the keyboard kid? Are you kidding me? And so Chris went off and had another great career. I mean, it's just we were one after another of these amazing actors all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Owen.
Just to make sure everyone heard me say it, he was the Shermanator in American Pie. He is absolutely famous actor.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I didn't write it down, which was my fault. Do you see the Topanga and her weirdos in this cafeteria scene? Or is this just...
I don't think so.
Okay, I don't think so either.
I think this one is just me offering to straighten his hair.
And it's where we hear about Stacy for the first time.
Right. This is where the sort of... my experience of the show was... this was where the death chair finally came full circle.
Yep.
And because the original... until Tuesday. I think there was another kid who was playing the other best friend. And it was his sister who straightened her hair. And he ended up going with Corey to Corey's house and straightening his hair. And I was just, like every other episode, stuck in the cafeteria or in the classroom, you know, with a couple of lines. And that kid got fired.
The same week. So this is, again, a lot of firing that week. David, explain the death chair to David. I don't know if David knows that we call it the death chair.
Yeah, I remember somebody sat in a chair and they were gone.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think David helped named it the death chair. We always talked about it. But I remember, I mean, and I think I've talked about this on an earlier episode of the podcast, but David, you might not remember, but the morning I showed up, having gotten the script that now Sean had a much bigger part and that everything had been cut, we were in this cafeteria scene with the cameras there. So yeah, it must've been Wednesday morning. It was after the Tuesday run through. I remember you pulled me out of my seat and stood me in front of the whole crew and said, can I just say it is well-deserved and about time that you had your due and you got this kind of part and it's going to be great. And everybody applauded. And I remember just like being so grateful and feeling like, okay, I can do this. Cause I was terrified, you know, I was so nervous. And you just made me feel so comfortable and welcome and deserving. And just, you know, like I said, it changed my life. This episode was the one where I was like, oh, I'm a part of a sitcom and this is the job. And it just was
you're getting at something too of the long life of the show. This is the fourth episode, right?
Yeah.
The writers can only do so much at once. So they start with the core thing, which is Corey and
Field Daniels.
Right? Yeah. And then they start to mess around with the pieces and figure out what's missing and how do we amplify this? And you look around and find out what resources are right there. And Ryder, there you were. Right, just the way Daniel, there you were in a little bit part. Yeah. And just the way, Will, you said, you know, I came in and I realized how to say it. It's like actors flower in small opportunities and then the opportunities enlarge. And the next thing you know, that's the show.
Right.
Smart writers are paying attention to what's lurking on the edges.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because, it was so funny that they kept trying to find this third character. They're like, man, we really can't nail this friendship situation. And then they were like, because we don't need the other person. We have the friendship right here. We have Ryder. We have Sean. And let's lean into that. And obviously, that's the Sean-Corey relationship is absolutely iconic.
Wasn't the first character that the poor actor who was fired, wasn't his sister originally named Rochelle?
I will consult with Rochelle.
That's right.
That was his line.
And
can I tell you the story?
I think we have to tell that story.
Should we wait till the scene? Originally, he offered to talk to his sister to figure out how to straighten her hair or how she straightens her hair. And Corey says to him, well, will you ask her? Can you find out? And the kid was supposed to sit back and be really cool, like he was maybe going to help Corey. And the line was, I will consult with Rochelle. And before the run through,
well, it was a big laugh the first time. Remember, at the table read,
And right before the run through, Ben told the guy, that is so funny when you take like the longest beat ever before you say that line. It's so funny. You should just wait forever. And the kid listened to Ben and sure enough, leaned back in his chair, took a deep breath, and just nobody laughed.
Yeah.
He took like 30 seconds and then said, I will consult with Rochelle, and not a single laugh.
And he was gone
to the next scene. And the whole rest of the week, Ben and I were like, oh my God, we got that guy fired, because it was the two of us being like, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Ben, I remember Ben always being like, well, what did I do? I told him to take a huge beat.
Oh my gosh.
This goes
back to what I said before. If you think it's funny, it's death.
Exactly.
It's
death.
Yes. Yep. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay, so we're out of the cafeteria. We're back at home. Lily has her classic doll throwing moment. Her dolly is cold. She puts it in the toaster oven.
Great joke, by the way. That would be a mistake. And then tapping her dead. Mommy, I made a mistake. That was a funny joke.
This is now
the dance.
The dance.
There were so many iconic moments in this episode. I mean, one after another of stuff that people talk about when they think of Boy Meets World. There were like four of them just in this episode.
Yeah, there's a couple of them just in the scene. Use a mirror, babe.
The dance.
Yeah, and I remember the dance. I hadn't remembered it until I was watching again. But I remember that when it came time for Topanga to do the interpretive dance, I remember saying to David, so what do you want me to do? And he said, come up with it. What feels good to you? What do you want to do? And being like, okay. Again, that was one of the things that David did so beautifully, is put things in our hands. This is your character. What would she do? Think about it. Put it together. I'm here to help you if you need help. And I was one of those things that then Jennifer Fischel, the unsung hero of Topanga Lawrence, my mom and I choreographed that dance. I remember saying, like, you know, the humpback whale part, being like, okay, well, now what am I going to do? And she said, what if you do this? And it's like a humpback whale. And then immediately.
That's the crowning achievement. That moment
perfect.
Is the best.
And
perfect.
Then when, you know, so pale, look to the sun. Like, I remember doing that with my mom and coming up with what we came up with and presenting it to David, and David being like, yeah, that's great. It's great. I love it. That's what we're going to do.
The important thing is you own it.
Yes, exactly.
And so one of the things is that moment holds because it's coming out of you. It's not imposed.
Yeah.
Right. If it, anyway, it's a wonderful moment, but you own it.
Yeah, so, and I felt comfortable doing it because mom and I created it.
I felt
comfortable doing it. I knew what I needed to do. The only thing that, of course, is hard is I was holding the lipstick in my hand and I was supposed to be making a round donut. And so I'm holding the liquid in my thumb. And so the circle isn't a complete circle. And then I have to take the lid off. And I'm holding a lid in one hand and the lipstick in the other. And I think I was supposed to draw a peace sign on my face.
It was something
which makes sense.
Which makes sense, but I think it ended up being a plus sign.
Yes.
It was a circle with a plus sign on my face. And I don't think we had to do it a bunch of times. I think we pretty much, I mean, I know we did it more than once, but I don't remember having to like
wash
the
lipstick. We did it in front of the audience.
Yeah.
I remember this was like my first moment discovering that there would be two laughs for the price of one, because I would walk in and get a laugh on the look.
Yep.
And then get a laugh on Use a Mirror, Babe. And I remember discovering that on tape night and being like, oh, they're laughing at just the way I stop and look. That's a whole separate beat, you know, just learning how to act.
And let me point out something there too, right? That meant you were listening to that unrehearsed cast member, the audience.
Exactly.
And that's the key to doing this. That's where it goes back to the theater.
Yeah.
It goes to vaudeville.
Yeah.
You got to both do it and be ready to jump and also listen and be ready to wait.
Yep.
Yes.
The first time we had an interactive audience too. I mean, they were really engaged
and giving
with us
feedback
that night and giving us instantaneous feedback. And that was the first time we'd ever really experienced that. Was
that because the show was already airing? Or what
made
this
different?
I don't
think it was out yet.
We just got lucky. We just had the best 200 people we could have possibly.
Yeah. I remember one of the things I remember about that is, you know, we always would do intros. And our intros were always a ton of fun for us. We would do what we've talked about this. We'd do our yell and then we'd run out. And that was the first time that it was mostly girls. And I remember that you and I, Ryder, both got like the woos for the first time ever. And it was like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
It made something.
You guys
it was
are
just totally
be,
different. Yeah, it was a totally
you
different
You guys are
going
to be heartthrobs.
So it was very strange.
I would bet that there's an element too of four episodes in, you've kind of got your feet down and we're more relaxed.
Yep.
Definitely.
If you're nervous, even hidden nervous, the audience can feel it. If you're sort of cool, then the audience can relax and respond naturally, and then it gets much more exuberant response.
It was great. I remember Mitchell Bank was our warm-up guy, and the girls were wooing, so Mitchell brought me out in front of the audience and had me like run back and forth in front of them as they were wooing. And he came
unified.
Exactly. So he
take
actually
your shirt off, kid.
He came and apologized. That's what I remember. Is he came and apologized?
Really?
Where he was like, the next week he was like, you know, I shouldn't have done that. And it was Michael who told me, he's like, no, I told Mitchell that don't ever do that to you again. And it was, and again, I'm ignorant to all this stuff. I was like, oh, important person tells me to run in front of audience. That's what I do. He was to us though. They were adults, you know,
and everybody was an adult.
Was an adult. So it was, but he came and apologized. Sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And Michael was like, you're never doing that again. I was like,
so then he did it to Bill Daniels the following week, right?
Probably. Yes, exactly. Well, Bill was always the heartthrob of the show, really. But it was that strange moment of realizing where it's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't just do what the adults automatically tell me to do all the time. You know, you have those moments where it's like, that's, you know, you gotta stand on your own a little bit at some point. And you get those little moments of, that was one of those moments I probably shouldn't have done that. So it was weird. Yeah. It was very strange.
So then we're up in the bedroom, Corey and Eric's bedroom.
Yes.
And we see the hair straightening
disaster
on his hair. His head is burning. And Ryder, you call Stacy.
Like you do. Call your sister like Sean always did for 7 years. Oh, wait. This was the only time that ever happened.
Yep. Yeah.
I was also bummed at like how quickly Sean just bails on the situation.
I know.
Yeah, like they clearly hadn't developed. I had no relationship with the parents yet. I had no relationship with you yet. That really didn't happen until the end of this season. Probably till the fugitive episode. I feel like when I blew up a mailbox is when Sean as sort of troublemaker was really solidified. But this is the beginning of that, right? Like Sean gets Corey into the situation. So it's funny, but I don't have any real character beat. It's just,
no,
but
I,
they also haven't developed you at all yet, because it was,
no.
Was it this episode or last episode where you say like touch football, my house after, and it's like, okay, well, Sean didn't have a house and there was no backyard. So it's like, you could tell they didn't, you know, they just weren't there yet. It was like, let's put this in. All right, your friends, that's the way it's going to be. All right, you're going to play touch football at your house. It's like, well, we haven't developed that. Sean doesn't have a house or a sister.
Yeah, I was bummed that you bailed, especially because you, I really feel like for both Will and Ryder, I felt like this is the episode where I feel like you guys did really have your characters. Like Ryder was, you were very funny in this. You're always, Ryder, yeah, to me, the star of, like, you are so freaking good.
I agree.
Every week, I'm always like, damn, he was good.
Really good. Way better actor than most of us. I know, but you were.
I don't know what I'm doing.
But you were.
Like, not in control of my body or my voice. I'm just like all over the place.
It was great. Oh, no. It was great.
And you definitely, every week, you've been giving yourself crap, saying like, oh, I'm not good. I'm whatever.
This moment when Will comes in, does the ball, does a cue ball.
Yes.
That was funny.
Like, it was great,
yeah,
dude.
I was slowly getting more comfortable, but it was still, I still get moments in my head as an actor where I'm looking at it going like, oh, and I'm sitting on the desk because David said, now go sit on desk. You know, like right. It was one of those things where I just was very, I wasn't doing anything naturally. And
you
I was
were
just
very presentational
robotic.
Still.
Yes.
Yeah. You were very presentational, but I feel like this felt like you were owning the presentation.
I was getting there a little more, but it was, I mean, I wasn't looking down to find my mark, but it was pretty damn close still. So it was, I just wasn't comfortable in my own skin as an actor at all. So it was, and it, I'd love to blame the writing, be like, well, they hadn't found me as a character. You know, I just wasn't comfortable. I was
none of us were. I mean, how could we be?
But see, that's the thing. That's what Danielle is talking about. You came off as very comfortable.
Yeah, you pretended.
You came off really like you had the character, even though you didn't know what the character was yet. You were very natural at doing what you were doing.
I think I was a very clueless young actor.
But it works.
I came from theater. I had never watched television, so I didn't know what we were doing. So I was probably more present in some ways. Like I was more of a less self-conscious in a good way, you know. But it's not like I knew what I was doing and you know, was super relaxed because I was just there. I was just in the sort of ever-present state. All I see is like a mess when I look at me. I'm like, oh God.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You're right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Books now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Books.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's BOUQS.com, promo code WORLD.
Books, promo code WORLD.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. David, do you have any thoughts or feelings looking back at like your old directing work when you watch this episode?
No, I look at you guys and I love what you do and I admire and I'm grateful to be part of it. That, and I know that sounds a little like, wait a minute, but it's about the actors. It's about the actors and the words. So when you guys are good and funny, I think, yeah, they're good. And I take great pleasure in that. Like an audience then.
I really did, like, I know we're only partial way through it, but I really did love this episode.
I did too.
It was really, it's so cute.
It's also very well built. And again, to credit where it's due, even a 22-minute story has to have a structure. And every one of the scenes advances this. And I want to go back to Lily, or if that's her name, the child.
Yeah,
Lily. That has no part in the story. It doesn't have any connection to anything else. Everything else builds. Whether there's a project, there's hair, the hair leads to Tokyo. It's all very...
I did notice she says, "I don't care what my doll looks like." I still love her. I was like, oh, maybe that's a thematic link.
Yeah, it is. I'm sure somebody said, "We gotta make this," or something.
Exactly.
But it's a very well-built little story.
Yeah, that's something Ryder mentioned early on, too, is that every moment so far in the scripts, we're like, yeah, that comes back later. Yeah, that builds on it.
Everything builds.
Yeah.
All right. Can we talk about the end of this scene?
Yes.
This is one of those classic moments that I think this might have been the origin of us saying optical flip. Do you guys remember how we always do?
Of course, we'd always do that in the middle of rehearsal.
Okay, so this is when Ben is like, now, well, there's one thing, I'm not going to school tomorrow. School, Corey, no. And then in the script, it would say, optical flip. And then you turn the page. And what that meant is that they would, in the editing, flip the screen. It's such like a 90s, 80s, like, editing technique to flip the screen to then reveal, of course, Corey sitting in school. But then this became our in joke, is that we knew we were like, our service for the end of the scene was to tee up the optical flip.
Yep.
And that's all we do. So then it just became our running joke for 7 years. We'd say something to one another and we'd be like, optical flip.
Yeah, but there's no way I'm going to that party. Optical flip. It's true.
Yeah. The second I saw that, that memory just came right back into my brain. But yeah, we'd say it about everything in our personal lives, not just when we rehearse. Yeah. We'd be one of us would be telling a story and we'd just be like, optical flip.
Yep. I remember it so well.
Oh my.
The only thing
so then we go to the classroom after that optical flip.
Yeah, that struck me as odd is that he's wearing the hat and we're acting as though the hat is completely covering the fact that his hair is all the way down.
I did. I was watching it last night with my wife and she said that she's like, does nobody notice that the rest of his hair doesn't look normal? It's like, has nobody nobody picked up on that? I was like, I guess not, babe.
Yeah, well, I guess the two moments, like, the scream that happens in that episode where, you know, we pull out to reveal Corey screaming in the room, and then we see the outside of the house, and then we reveal, all you right. know, that's like the first real moment of the show that's like clearly not taking place in reality. It's like the first time.
It's very meta. Yeah. Out of nowhere.
That's kind of the first time. And then, you know, in the next scene with him with the wig.
The wig's actually pretty funny.
It is
the wig with the duck bill on the front.
I
and
do
then the,
remember
the, mat
the
of the hair on the side
about the taking off the hat and whether or not the hair would drop to create the duck bill.
Yes.
I remember the stress of like that needing to go right and it not really ever fully falling the way we needed it to.
And Ben, to his credit, you can tell is doing his best to play it towards the lens, like where he's like trying to turn his head, show the angle so you can see that there's a big duck bill in the front. So even he was more aware as an actor at that point of, okay, well, if I turn this way, then at least I can show what the whole joke is supposed to be.
Right.
I hadn't found that yet, but he clearly had, which at 12, again, carrying the show. And let's point out again, we've said this in every episode now so far, but he's been in every single scene, essentially, for four episodes. This kid, who's 12, has been carrying four straight episodes. It's amazing.
But one of the things I remember, because my workstation would be a podium, right, where I had a script and had stuff on the podium like this, and the script opened, and I remember Ben would come over, you could barely see up to where the script is before a scene, look at it, got it, right? He's like, his brain was like a vacuum cleaner. It remembered every particle that went into it. Amazing. The skill level of, I mean, obviously he studied his lines before, but he would just like, look, got it, and do it. So the skill set was long.
I remember him being off book, which is what you call it. You know, you hold your script for the first couple of days because you don't know the lines yet. He was always off book faster than the rest of us was. Rest of us were, excuse me, English. But he was. He would, we'd all, it's memorizing lines, especially when you have the regularity of a sitcom, is muscle memory, and you really can you lose it after a while. If you're not memorizing lines every day, you go back 15 years later and it's tough to memorize your lines again. It is a muscle memory you use, but he just had it very quickly. I mean, to the point where, just like David was saying, he would, because Michael would run in the middle of scenes, in the middle of when we talk about changing the, like, oh, Bill has to deal with the changes, or we had to deal with the changes. These would happen instantaneously on the set in front of the audience.
Sometimes an entire page, like the full page, cross it out. Now this person's going to say this person's going to say this, and everything's different. And now I'm learning cue lines differently. I'm figuring out what I'm going to say. I have to figure out how I want to say it.
And the audience is sitting there waiting for you to do it. And Ben would just instantly pick it up. Like, all right, let's go. And we were like, oh, okay, I guess we're doing this.
Yeah.
So yeah, he had that right away.
I did
too.
Loving that experience.
Because there's that energy of, we don't even know it. You know, it's so fresh at that point. But Ben, we keep talking about how good Ben was, but he was good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and to David's point too, you don't know if anything's funny yet. So it's great because you'll get a real natural reaction based on, you know, we don't have any feedback. Nobody's had a chance to tell us, oh my God, that's so funny. Yeah. And then we find a way to play it up.
And it's fresh for the audience too. They might've seen it three times already. So now they've got a new scene automatically. They don't expect it either. And it's a whole new energy coming from there.
Yeah.
So I want to add something into this too, because as you talk, it's like how completely untemperamental it was. There was never any bridling, or you went with it, you know? And that's a remarkable thing of a company of actors who, because I've been in other situations where lines change in the middle of things, or where things are getting, and actors
push back.
Yeah, actors can get put on it or push back, or be just naturally have a temperamental response to things that's not always the easiest thing to do. And I get it, right? It's not like I'm going, what the heck is going on? You guys were so sort of like, take it, roll with it, figure out how to do the lines, do it. Really remarkable. And because a show with young people like you has time constraints.
Yeah.
You don't. If you say, I can't do this, or I got to go to my dressing room, or I got to run any of the other shows, we never get done.
Mm-mm.
Right? So, and among all the other things you deserve credit for is having your feet on there.
We had so, I mean, I like writer, remember those moments and thinking it was just fun and just being like, what? New lines? Okay, what are they? What are we doing?
Yeah. That's the attitude. That's the way you got to do it.
Yeah.
And I think Bill Daniels had to learn that. I think he's a smart guy and learned it fast. But he, in the beginning, I think he thought, what are we doing? Nichols didn't do this to me.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
What's going on?
Exactly.
And then he thought, and then I think he got it. And I thought, it'll be fine. I can do this.
Wait, I don't think they walked onto him 1776 halfway through and said, "We're going to change the John Adams song."
No, new song, Bill.
So at the end of the scene in this classroom, Corey takes off his hat. Everybody sees the hair. Everybody laughs at him. And he looks at Topanga and he says, you know, go ahead and laugh. And she says, you know, your hair looks different. Why would I laugh at you? And he gives her that look for the first time, like, huh.
Oh.
Why are you like this?
Yeah.
And he wants to know a little bit more, I think.
Which is odd, because later in the series, we find out you've actually been in love since you were five.
Exactly. And another continuity thing of the 90s.
And then you were in love. Yeah.
It gets mentioned that we met.
Revisionist history.
Exactly. It gets, of course, mentions that Corey and Topanga have been together since they were three, which we've seen the origin. We know that isn't true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But so then we go into the cafeteria, and this is now where I basically stopped writing notes at this point, because I was now just like sucked in, and I loved this cafeteria scene where we see the cast of characters that Topanga hangs out with. One of my favorite lines in the series is "What cape?" when he says, "Listen,
that is so funny, laugh out loud funny line that I was not expecting it, and I guffawed." It was amazing. It was great.
Yeah, I have a question for you. You've worn this cape since you were little, and he just stands up. And he says, "What cape?" It's so funny to me.
It was great.
And Marty York is the friend in this, so he's the third friend. He's not sitting in the death chair. But he is the death chair that week.
Sean is so mean. Sean is so mean.
There was a lot of people that, I mean, if you look back at that, there were times where, and I get why it had to be very direct, but there was times where Corey came off as mean.
There are
a couple characters where it's like, but that's, there's something very real about that. I mean, that's kind of how
kids are. Yeah.
And it's,
yeah, but I don't think it works the same way in today's world.
No, luckily. I don't think so.
I think
either.
That there's an overall insider outsider, what is normal, what is not, atmosphere that this episode surely encourages, if not exploits. And obviously, you know, it makes a bridge between Corey and Topanga via that. But there's a mean-spiritedness there, you know, in general to, like, what is normal and what is average or what most boys do. And, you know, I it's funny because I feel like that is incredibly dated.
It is.
Don't you think it's redeemed slightly?
Yes. No, of course. Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely.
Redeemed by the fact that Corey, as the representative of the spirit of the show, comes to see that he was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's it. I tell you, there's one line where it's not in the scene, so maybe we'll get there, but there's only one line where I go, oh. And that is, you're going to be one of those girls which doesn't shave her legs, right?
Yeah.
That's one where you think, now, you could just take that out.
Yeah. That's the scene where I do the dance. That's another one. That's right. That's use a mirror babe scene.
Yep.
And you're going to be one of those girls who doesn't shave. And I loved the reaction. And I actually loved the reading.
It was a great line read.
I haven't decided yet. Yeah. And it's a little offended that, hey,
I'll figure that out
I'll
when
figure
I figure
it
that out.
When
it has
it's
nothing to do with you.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And your response saves it. Your response makes it okay,
passable. Exactly. So yeah, this is where we see Chris Owen playing the keyboard.
Never speaks.
Never speaks.
Never stops playing the keyboard. Not one time.
I know.
Every
actor there, Lee Norris. I don't know the actress's name.
And she, I think, went on to do other stuff too. I recognized her and I couldn't. Yeah, I couldn't remember what her name was either, unfortunately.
But everybody is so great at that table. And so Sean is laughing at Corey. Corey gets up and he goes to join them and realizes he's one of them now. And the petition again to save the librarian comes up, and he then, you know, says why they're not going to have any success. I mean, that's, anybody else want to talk about anything else in that scene?
No,
or
I mean,
on?
Again, we hit
I
on
was
a,
jarred by the Beavis and Butthead reference.
That was one, like a weird, Beavis and Butthead.
But it's a good one, because even though it's dated, I mean, obviously, it's just the name is funny, you know, like they don't want that. They want Beavis, they watch Beavis and Butthead, and then, but then our audience cheered, which yes. I doubt we expected, actually.
Well, no, you see no, Ben, I like, kind of.
Is it Lee who played Minkus? Is
Yes.
When he said, I like anything with Angela Lansbury. That's really funny.
It's so funny.
You and somehow it's still really funny.
Yes.
It is. And it's also, it's one of those things where the writers would often put in jokes that meant one thing to kids and something else to adults. I mean, how often you have a 11 or 12 year old kid throwing out an Angela Lansbury reference?
I know.
And it works.
And it still works, to David's point. Somehow, 29 years later, it's still really funny
to hear, to see Lee talking about Angela Lansbury. It's hysterical.
Yeah, every character in that little group is phenomenal. And
I literally wrote down what cape. Yeah. It's just so funny.
And even Chris Owen, without having a line, playing the keyboard. Like, all those characters were well-defined.
Yep.
And you loved them, and you know.
But doesn't that keyboard man have headphones?
He does.
I mean, he's not even this. What scene?
It's so great. Oh, man.
So great. I love it. So we go back to the house. We're in Corey's bedroom. Corey is now curling his hair, trying to get it back to its original glory. And Eric walks in.
Yes, this is, so I'm actually going to show Danielle something here on my phone. I found, when I was home, all the original Polaroids.
What?
He has the Polaroids that he took.
Sneak through that.
You kept them?
I have the Polaroids.
Oh my gosh.
That I took of him.
In the actual scene.
So I have Polaroids, and then Polaroids of them doing up
the curlers.
And then Polaroids of
Ryder.
The original kid that was with you, Ryder.
No way.
So I will consult with Rochelle.
God. I will consult with Rochelle. So I have all, I literally
oh my
kept
gosh.
The
oh my
Polaroids. God. I must have 15 of them from all the different takes we did. It's just walking in, taking a Polaroid and walking out was the whole scene. And I was cleaning out my childhood bedroom, and I came upon all the Polaroids. So I still have them. It's so strange.
Amazing.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool.
And then we are back at the school by the lockers, and Corey shows up. His hair is now huge and frizzy, and, you know, even the weirdos, all Topanga and her weirdos, we all even, you know, laugh at him there. And he laughs at that. He laughs at himself.
Great.
He lightens up. He can laugh at himself a little bit. And then we have created a human barrier. We handcuff ourselves to the lockers. We are going to get everyone to sign the petition for Mrs. Rosemead. There's a Don King reference here.
Also, can we talk about how obviously a bunch of kids have access to 15 pairs of handcuffs? which is totally normal.
Both are absolutely locked and easily
unlocked. Exactly. 15 police grade handcuffs. They just That's automatically amazing. Have that.
Just.
It's so funny because, like, I don't care. Like, it's such a good scene.
Of course not.
Like,
course
I was
not.
So on board with this scene. And I was so glad also that Corey gets a moment as a leader, it's not just that they are going to handcuff themselves. It's that he convinces them, you know, he argues with them. He supports the cause. I thought it was great. Great writing.
You know, one of the things I found interesting that I found a little bit jarring was this is the only time, maybe the only time, because it starts to grow from there, that Sean and Corey are literally and figuratively on different sides.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
scene. Am I even in the scene?
I don't think so, but that's what I'm saying. But it's like, you're not part, like, you were part of the Marty York kind of friendship scene.
Cool kids.
The right. cool yeah, kids. Yeah. And they're never in the future, kids, yeah. you would have been handcuffed with Corey right next to him.
Absolutely.
And there was something interesting about that. They still hadn't quite found that yet.
But it is also interesting that Sean isn't in that scene because Marty York is there. Yeah. He's the kid who calls Ben
I'll
Don King. I'll sign it. And so it is, I wonder if that was like a deliberate choice that we weren't going to put Sean.
Maybe.
But I'll tell you why you can't have Sean in the scene, because Sean would have stayed, and you have to be able to get Topanga and Corey alone.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a kind of, it's easy for the gang, the group to walk off.
Right.
It's a little trickier.
If you have an established character.
Which is the same reason why Sean's character has to leave in the bedroom when you haven't established a relationship with the parents, because then you're going to say, now, do these parents know Sean already? Or is this the first time they're meeting him? Are they angry with him? Do they like you have
Does
to address
Corey blame Sean? It becomes a whole
different thing that they don't have time
because
for.
Corey blames Sean in that first scene when Feeny says stinks and Corey goes stinks.
Yeah, right. But what do you think of me? Right, exactly.
He's perfectly happy to blame.
Exactly. You know? He's happy to pass the buck there.
It is also one of the most, if you go back and watch, one of the most unnatural exits ever is the four of them still handcuffed together backing out of the scene.
I laughed because they were handcuffed so they couldn't turn. They are literally backing up the stairs.
And you could tell it was just like, get out of the scene. So they're just the four of them handcuffed trying to back out of the scene.
I didn't notice at all.
So funny.
It is. It was really funny. I noticed the same thing.
So funny.
Very funny. Oh. And then I was shocked while watching this that you cannot physically see me shaking. I was so nervous.
Well, wait, before we get to your nervous thing, because I think that's going to be very important and that has to be its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about Ben mouthing along with Marty York's lines?
Is that does
he
really?
Oh man,
he does
it's
in
not
this scene.
Even it is not even subtle. I mean, we are just on Corey's face as he is just full on mouthing along with all of Marty.
And I think
he memorized the whole scene.
Well, and I think it also speaks to his nervousness. This scene for us, I think Ben would probably tell you I was not his first kiss. I don't know. Ben was also 12. I think Ben has said, no, it wasn't my first kiss. It was most certainly my first kiss. I had never kissed anybody. We had not rehearsed the kiss throughout the week. We had rehearsed what was going to happen, you know, the pushing up against the lockers, but we didn't actually ever kiss. And it was being taped and we were filming it in front of the live studio audience. So we had never rehearsed the actual kiss. And I was the most nervous of any
you don't seem like it at all. You have the most confidence and poise. Like, and it's so interesting. Like when you just have that beat where you're like, oh, okay. Or sure. Yeah. Or whatever you say. And you sort of look off to the side. It's just like such, I remember being there looking at the monitor on tape night and just being so thrilled with that scene. And like, and I felt it again, watching it now, 29 years later, I was like, oh my God, I remember this beat. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I was shocked you couldn't see me shaking. Cause I remember my insides being just a jumbled mess. And also I remember, you know, my grandparents were there. And so not only am I doing this, it's tape night in front of this live studio audience. I've had this tumultuous week of getting the job, getting almost fired from the job, keeping the job, you know, succeeding at the job. This is the last scene of the night. And my grandparents are about to watch me kiss a boy. And I've never done it before. Oh my God. And all these people, not just my grandparents, but like 200 people are going to watch. And I knew how important it was to the show. And I was worried I was going to like do it wrong or that I was going to let somebody down. And I knew that Ben was also very nervous. And I just remember thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get through this. And when I watched it, I was so kudos to me. I was so cool. And the way I put my hand on my hip and like looked away,
amazing.
So self-assured.
Well, something you just said, it resonates in such a way that it hadn't hit me until right now. From the note session to where you were crying to that kiss was 3.5 days later.
Not even. Note session was Monday afternoon to Thursday night, exactly 3 days later.
3 days later, this entire journey for you was 3 days. Yes. That's nuts to me.
Which
That's
for a 12-year-old is like a year and a half.
Oh,
of
man. But that
you know,
is
like
crazy.
As far as your brain changing rapidly, like, and you did. You rose to this challenge and you became this confident.
Oh.
You know, because Topanga in that moment is acting like a 25-year-old woman.
Yeah.
And you believe it. You completely believe it. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Ben's expression is just like one of the most iconic things.
He looks like one of those pencil toppers.
And he has his lips tucked in because he didn't really want me to kiss him.
He's
so
fully tucked in.
He's not. He's like lips sucked in. I'm not really. Our lips didn't really ever touch. And
he was really nervous about kissing you for a number of reasons.
Yeah, he was very nervous to kiss me. I remember that distinctly. So was I.
Man.
David, do you remember any of that, like, kid nervousness about a kiss? Was this the first time you had ever directed kids kissing?
You said before you didn't do it until you shot it because you didn't want to give up the newness. So save the newness till you have it. Do your photograph. But the other thing I was thinking as you guys were talking about this is any problem, a good actor understands that any problem is not the actor's problem, it's the character's problem. Hmm. And so the nervousness is Topanga's nervousness. And the control of the nervousness is Topanga's. And same with them, you could do it that way. And actors who are not in it, whatever it is, think it's the prop. And they don't understand. It's not the problem. It's the character. The candle's not being lit. It's not the actor's problem. It's the character's. What would the character do? So this kiss is really you, is you being a real actor. You and Ben being real actors. Because whatever you felt as actors, you made it the character.
Yeah. Yeah, I can get emotional thinking about it. it was such a big moment, and we really did. When I watch it, I think those look like two kids that are really sure of what they're supposed to be doing, and I didn't feel that way, but we pulled it off. We look like we know what we're doing, and I didn't remember that her reasoning for doing it for all these years. I never really remembered why she did it. Like, I knew that we kissed in that scene, but I didn't really get it. And I love the idea and the line. Because wouldn't it be interesting if you always remembered for the rest of your life that your first kiss happened when you thought you looked your worst?
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah,
I love it. It gives me a different feeling on the scene because I hadn't remembered that there was like that really deep meaning behind it.
Well, we haven't really in any way, shape, or form, and I know we're at the end now, discussed the meaning of the show, but the actual theme of the show of let's not care so much what other people think about you and just be comfortable in your own skin is hugely important. And that's the thing that still resonates with a lot of people about Boy Meets World is you would get those messages without necessarily, you know, having to do a very special episode.
Yeah.
You know, so that resonates through the generations that there comes, you can't care what other people think about you. And doing that through the Topanga character, I thought was a great way of doing it. Somebody who was so confident at such a young age.
Yeah.
And showing that kind of like, I don't care what people think about me. I'm not the best version of me that I am. I thought was really cool. So yeah, that was one thing our show did very well without having to kind of spoon feed it to you.
Yeah.
Until Robert was an alcoholic for one episode.
It's Michael. Yeah. Michael's inherently moralistic, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean he views television as a way to deliver messages.
Yes.
Yes.
So there are other shows that are wonderful in their own way that don't deliver a message. They may have one coincidentally in there, but Michael's very much.
This is the point.
Yeah.
A deliverer of meaning.
Yeah.
And. This episode succeeds very well to deliver what the meaning that Michael wants to deliver.
I thought so too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a great message still.
And I love then we're the next scene, the final scene of the show. We're back in the cafeteria and, you know, Corey's hair is back to normal, which means Corey's life kind of goes back to normal and he's going to sit with his friends. But there's this really nice understanding that, for one thing, they offer him a seat. The Topanga and her weirdos offer him a seat at their table. And he isn't rude about it. He just says, you know, I'm going to sit with them. And we all understand. But we also let him know, if you ever need to return, there's always a seat for you here. And, you know, then Corey goes and sits back with his friends. And I remember the red hat moment. And the way we looked at each other. And I feel like, I don't know if that was always in the script throughout the entire week, because like David said in the last episode, we talked about how it's like, there's always the possibility that a character is going to return. There's no way you watch that red hat moment and not think,
Topanga's coming back.
Yeah, like, of course she has to come back.
Yeah.
I remember specifically shooting that and wrapping that up and then being like, I think I'm going to have a job.
I might be working.
Mama's getting paid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've got to crimp my hair till 11 o'clock at night.
Were you in every episode subsequent to that?
No.
She didn't become a regular till like season three.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Is that you weren't even guaranteed recurring for a while, were you?
I think I think after this episode, I got guaranteed 13. For the rest for the rest of the season, but I didn't. I got paid for. I wasn't in actually 13. I think I got paid for 13, but I only ended up being in 11. And then I think the following season, I was also guaranteed 13, but maybe did more that season. Mm-hmm. Right. And then season three was when I was a full blown regular.
How is it? You look back on that, it's like really Topanga wasn't a regular until season three. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Well, there was also just a network. They only allowed so many regulars.
And we had a big cast and it was growing. Yeah.
And I think before Sight Unseen, when the season started, Michael had added Minkus to the cast because he had already worked with Lee and he knew Lee was a known entity.
Yep.
And that's again, Lee wasn't around for the second season. So it's like you had to shuffle. There were only so many characters the budget of the network.
And then
Tony Quinn
came on second season, didn't he?
Second season,
yeah. So it's like we added another regular right there.
Yeah, Tony Quinn, who played Mr. Turner.
Mr. Turner came on. We were just kind of adding characters and dropping characters, and other characters coming on as guest stars. They're still very much finding themselves. I look back at this episode. There were so many iconic moments in this episode.
This is a legendary episode.
It is the most important episode in the history of Boy Meets World, I'm convinced.
And David, we have you to thank for so much of it. And, as I started
David
the last
Traynor.
Episode, you've been so impactful in all of our lives. And we are so, so grateful that you came here and broke this episode down. And you taught me things, a million things. But even now I'm learning about how this whole process came to be. And I'm just so glad that you came and shared all that with us.
When I got your email, I thought, that sounds right. First of all, to see you guys, it is a great pleasure. But I thought, if I'm going to go back 29 years or whatever, it's more than that, this is a really good way to do it. So thank you for asking.
Well, thank you for being here and walking through it with us. I feel very safe.
Been really great.
The way I always did.
Yeah, you are an amazing conduit into the world of acting. That's for sure. So thank you for that.
Now we'll see each other. Now we'll see each other again.
I hope so.
All this time, so we'll bump into each other all over.
I hope so. I absolutely hope so.
Thank you, friends. Thank you for asking. Really great to see you all.
Please come back again.
Thanks for doing this. Yes, please.
Well, you got how many of there? 148.
158.
They got scraping the bottom of the barrel.
We'll have you in season two, so you don't have to come back soon.
I mean, thanks. Really nice to see you.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow.
Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You're right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. That was so wonderful to have him here and to break down that episode with us and to, man, pick his brain and hear his experiences.
Yeah, you know, it's always like, I mean, I think it'll be interesting to hear from our listeners. We sort of take it for granted, like, how important a director is.
Absolutely.
You know, but it's one of those positions, like, I think for a lot of people, the separation of a producer and a director and a writer, it's all kind of jumbled together and it's hard to understand. But really, the director is the person who works the closest with the actors and spends all week rehearsing with them. So while Michael Jacobs has so much of the creative writing control, David was really the person in the trenches with us every day.
Yes.
And, you know, and whoever the director was, that. And so it's so nice that he came back, that he has all these positive memories of us. And because I have such positive memories of him.
Me too.
I look to him as a huge mentor in my life. But I haven't talked to him since, since this, whenever he came back, I think in the sixth season, he directed an episode too, but you know, we never really talked. And we also just never, I never understood that when he left the show, you know, he obviously went on to other things, but it was really nice to hear his thoughts on Michael and the dynamic of our show. Because, you know, when you're a kid, you just think that's the way all shows are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think one of the things we tend not to do when our guest is actually on the air with us is gush over them. And he's television royalty.
I mean,
from Designing Women, Boy Meets World, That 70s Show, this guy has to sit there and speak with them the way that we just did kind of as adults is so strange. But that's the thing that I'm still wrapping my head around with a lot of these conversations, is having a conversation with these people that were so important when I was a kid to then sit down and talk to them again as an adult is so interesting to me. It's just a whole new dynamic. Yeah. So, thank you so much for coming on, David, and please come back.
Yeah, I hope he does. Yeah. So anyway, absolutely love that guy. Writer, I agree with you. I he's like a mentor in my life. And yet it's funny because, like you said, I've never seen him since, and he doesn't know that. So it's crazy to think that, like, you can have, like, he had such an impact in our life. And I guarantee you, he's never once thought, you know, I bet Danielle and Ryder and Will, I bet those guys think of me as a mentor. But yet you could have had that much of an impact in somebody's life and you have no idea.
Well, more so for the two of you, because this is what you do. You both became directors and four camera director. I mean, you direct other things, but that's the kind of the bread and butter is the four camera sitcom. And this is the man you looked up to do it. So that's huge.
And his approach to acting. I mean, like listening to him talk about the process, like he understands it so well. And he gives actors so much permission and support. And I remember, you know, you feel that as a kid, especially. It was palpable that this person respected us, respected our input, wanted us to come up with our own stuff, like that dance, Danielle, like the fact that he turned that back on you. Like I've worked with so many directors, especially directors who direct kids, who are just like, give them a cookie and make them say the line.
Yep. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Like, just do the thing. Like, come on, do it like this. Let me give you a line reading. He never did that.
Nope.
And that, it was like the greatest gift for us as actors, that we wouldn't have had otherwise. We would not have had that otherwise.
And we had it immediately following David Trainer with Jeff McCracken for season 3 and 4.
Yeah.
So the first 4 years, the most formidable years of our, you know, TV careers were with two of the most incredible, like-minded directors.
Yes. Generous, giving.
Yes.
Absolutely. And it's also one of those things where you imagine how different the show would have been had it not started with David Trainer.
Exactly.
It would have just, all of us would have been different actors. We would have been different people if that was not the kind of anchor we had on the set every day for 2 seasons. So yeah, thank God he was there. Absolutely.
Be sure to follow us on Pod Meets World Show on Instagram or email us your thoughts and opinions at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And we have very exciting news that our first ever podcast merch is now available.
It's coming out.
We have Pod Meets World Show, which rolls right off the tongue for me, as you know. Podmeetsworldshow.com is our website, and you can purchase our very first pod shirt merch.
Pod shirt, pod merch shirt.
Wow.
Pod, that's a tough one.
Just, let's just, our pod merch.
Our pod merch. Pod merch, which is good.
Purchase the pod merch.
I'm still going to come up with a song. We need a song.
Guys, we are professional actors.
Yes.
We are. Pod merch. Pod merch. That's easier.
Purchase the pod merch on podmeetsworldshow.com.
Right off the tongue.
We love you all. Pod dismissed. Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production Danielle Romo. Producer and editor Tara Sudbach. Producer Lorraine Verwez. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon. Follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy.
Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.